following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Turn 21 of A Worthy Opponent. It's a podcast based on Hearthstone, the Blizzard game, and I'm Black Lace, and with me is my partner in crime and whatever, Autumn Spain.
What's the difference between a mage playing with Counterspell and a mage who isn't? The mage who isn't is getting pyroblasted in the face.
I see. So with that one, I would guess the card would be?
Counterspell. It's a secret. Three casting costs, of course. When your opponent casts a spell, counter it. Nice flavor text, but I don't think I'm using one currently.
Counterspell? I tried it. I did try it.
Yep. By the way, Black Lace, this is not turn 21. This is turn 22.
I know it is. I said turn 21, didn't I? And I
yes,
have turn 22 written right in front of my nose.
Time to get out the reading glasses.
You said that last podcast. Cut it out. All right, so this is what we're going to be talking about today. We have a bunch of new stuff. We are going to focus today on the mage class, but that is a little bit later. We have some interesting things to talk about. First of all, April 1st was a new season for Hearthstone. It was the actual opening of the official and no longer test phases of Ranked and Arena.
And did you notice some changes?
I did. I did, said the rabbit.
One change was they stopped throwing that three more days and two more days in our face, and I think we mentioned it the last podcast. They were just doing it for several days, and then suddenly they stopped doing it. But they did do something good when they changed over. You want to tell people about it?
Yes. I'm not going to say I was better than you, because I wasn't better than you. I have...
You were further advanced
in my rank than you were. So I actually got 10 stars as a quote-unquote gift from Hearthstone, and I think they're going to do that depending on where you wind up at the end. So it put me, instead of at rank 25, I came in starting at rank 21 already. And you?
I don't even remember what I was at. I wasn't too far, because as I said, I was not paying too close attention to my wins and losses, since I was, you know, conceding to priests and Murloc decks. So it's pretty hard to advance when you keep conceding like that.
During the week, I had a couple of interesting things happen to me that I wanted to share. I have a play of the week on my side and a play of the week that somebody else pulled on me. The one that they pulled on me was done by a... I was playing my mage and testing out my mage deck, and it was actually played by a rogue. There are some theories. This week has been exceedingly hard, and we're not the only people who noticed it. Other podcasters have mentioned that this week, for some reason, whether it be casual or ranked play, it's really tough. And you had heard a theory on that, didn't you?
Yes. There's a podcaster named Tom Merrick, and Tom said on a podcast I was listening to that he felt that the reason everything was so hard was because all of the casual players were playing the new Diablo expansion, whereas the hardcore players were in there kicking butt.
I would agree, because I mean, the play against me was done by a master. This rogue, I did not write his name to give him any kind of shout out or any kind of shout out, but it was a matter of probably part of it having all the right cards in your hand, as we've said before, that can just totally make a game. He played Van Cleef, which is a 2/2 creature and gets +2/+2 for every card played previously that turn. And I didn't think much about it when he threw out Van Cleef, because it was only a 2/2 creature. until he played Shadow Step, which pulled it back into his hand. And I said, mm-mm, something's going on. The next few things happened very quickly. He then played Preparation, also a zero casting cost.
Was it Preparation H?
No, it was Preparation Zero casting cost.
Okay.
You worry about the Preparation H, I will worry about the reading glasses. Anyway, Preparation is the next three. The next spell costs three less. He then summoned something. I don't even know what it was because this was happening so fast, because after he summoned it, he pulled it back again with another Shadow Step, zero casting cost. So mind you, now we've had Van Cleef, zero casting cost, Shadow Step, Preparation, zero casting cost, summon, who knows how many at this point, zero casting cost, Shadow Step, and then boom, Van Cleef came out again. He was now a 12-12 creature. I was just like annihilated.
That's an awful lot of work to get a 12-12 creature, but guess what?
It was.
I've done it.
Oh.
I love my Van Cleef, but I haven't played a rogue in a long time.
I don't have a Van Cleef.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. But, you know, a lot of the class legendaries are really nice, but if you are not playing those classes very often, like my villain is taking a dirt nap, because yeah. He's the priest legendary.
There are quite a few cards that I would like to make at this point. Van Cleef being one of them. Leroy Jenkins is another one. I'd like
you gotta get
Straza.
Leroy is useful in all
Rush decks. Oh, but Ysera. I mean, there are still decks out, the cards out there that I haven't gotten. I have not had a lot of luck with the new, since they went live. I don't know. I haven't had the luck in getting new cards. I get about a deck a day between the amount of times I play. Not a deck. I get a pack a day between the amounts of cards games I play and getting awards for winnings, and also for the quests. I've actually been able to open about every day one pack, and I'm doing a lot more dusting than I am getting the, you know, interesting cards. And I'm still missing probably 30, 40.
Well, same here. And the last time I opened a legendary was when I bought $50 worth of cards months and months ago. I mean, legendaries just aren't popping out of my packs. It's almost as if you have to buy a lot at the same time.
Yeah.
To try to tweak the odds. Is this one at a time thing just isn't happening.
I noticed.
Me.
It just seems a lot slower. But anyway, with what I saw with the Van Cleef, it moved me back to my wish list of what I'd like to see in this game. And that is an instant replay that maybe after, I mean, I know on the sidebar, you can see what your opponent has played and what you have played. But when your opponent is bashing you with Van Cleef, Shadow Step, Preparation, summon something else, Shadow Step, summon Van Cleef. Things are going through so quickly.
You can't see all of them.
You can't see it. You can't write it down, you know, and because you need to be taking your turn. And so it makes it harder for me to, you know, let our listeners know what I've been seeing when and give them, you know, that was a great thing. Somebody may want to throw a deck together based on that. But without instant replay, I could miss cards. So
think,
I want instant replay.
Think back. Remember the questionnaire they sent out to us midway through the beta, and they wanted to know what things we might be willing to pay for in the future? Instant replay was one of those things.
Ah, okay.
Remember, like, is it different card backs and extra deck slots and... All
which is something else
features.
That's going to happen. I mentioned last week, too, the different card backs. If you got to rank 20, you're going to get a new Pandarian card back. But again, reminding people, not until the end of the month. But
right.
Yeah, I might, I don't know how much, it would depend on how much it costs. And if you had to pay each time you wanted to do a wish list, if you wanted to pay each time you had to do an instant replay.
I don't think they would ever
do
that.
You could get very, very pricey.
Actually, I might be remembering it wrong, because that questionnaire included features you would like, and then there was another section on features you'd pay for, and maybe that wasn't the pay for features. I think they just want to know if people would like it, and I say, yes, I like it, and I want it.
Yep, I agree. All right, so what else is new with Hearthstone? They wanted to let people know that the chat with friends in the Battle.net desktop app is now active. Anybody who's using that, everybody actually playing Hearthstone has that app already because it was in beta with the Hearthstone. But if you notice in the upper right-hand corner, it's now got your name. And underneath it, it's got a little thing that says online. You can actually change that now to being online, away, or busy. And you can talk to any of your friends because to the right of your name shows you how many friends are online.
I have
and
four friends
what they're
online.
Playing. I do too. I've got one in Diablo, one in just Battle.net, and somebody else playing Hearthstone. So it's kind of neat. But you can actually play your own status. So if I wanted to, I could put up away right now so that nobody would, you know, message me while I'm trying to pay attention to this podcast.
See, now look at this. It even tells you if it's just the Battle.net interface up. Like, I see you're in your Battle.net interface, and somebody I think I friended through a Hearthstone game that I don't remember, he's in the Battle.net. And then Reap in our chat room is also hanging out in the main menu of Hearthstone. And another player that I friended through Hearthstone is playing Diablo. In adventure mode, the new adventure mode.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a pretty nifty little feature.
I like it. The questions asked that were frequently asked questions are, can I change my online status through Battle.net? As I just said, yes. You can change it to online, busy, or away. You can also do it. That will affect you in-game. So if I put my Battle.net as away and I go into Warcraft, people who look at my what is it called? My friends list. Anybody who is on my friends list will see me as away in, whether it be in Warcraft or Starcraft or Diablo, wherever I am, it's going to reflect where I am, what I set. And likewise in game, you can change it too. So it's kind of neat. It's a kind of neat little thing that they've got. Other news, I had mentioned last week about the collegiate contest they were going to have, the Collegiate Open. They had almost 1,800 college students from around North America participate in the Hearthstone Collegiate Open.
That's a lot.
That is, 1,800, yep. After fierce competition, top four players emerged victorious and will advance to the semifinals at PAX East. Anybody who actually wants to watch that, they can watch it live on Twitch. It's going to be on April 12th. They did not announce what time it will be, but it is April 12th. You can see it on Twitch. And the top four I thought was interesting. One was from, let me see, Broward College. Two Rusher was the name of the person. He has basically, what is not rank, but he's got 460 levels in Hearthstone. Rutgers University, Dark Angel, 341 levels in Hearthstone. UC Berkeley, Rising Virtue, he has 343 levels in Hearthstone. And then the fourth player was from Oklahoma University, was Zeph, and he has 305 levels. And I might have even played Zeph. That name is very familiar.
This is what I want to know.
What do you want to know?
How many of these players in the top tier of this collegiate tournament are flunking out in college because they're playing Hearthstone?
I don't know. This first one, Rising Virtue, they gave all the information on these guys. He's a double major in microbiology for pre-med and applied mathematics.
Applied mathematics works well in this game.
Yep, and then we have another one is biochemistry and computer science.
So
mechanical engineering.
Kings of the geeks here.
Possibly mechanical engineering and then business administration. And it asks their favorite cards. It's kind of cute write-up. And the cards are varied. They really are. One had, like, Shadow Madness. Another, like, Alexstrasza, because it was his first legendary, and his quote was, "They say you grow emotionally attached to your first one." Another one's Battle Cry. One is for the Horde. The other guy's for Narnia. I thought that was funny. King Mukla was his favorite Hearthstone card. And then another one, His favorite Hearthstone card was Leroy Jenkins. So I just thought that was easy. Those are the top four players. They are going to battle each other Saturday, April 12th. If you're listening to this podcast live or this week, that's this coming Saturday. And it will be live on Twitch.
So none of them were like NCAA, they're on a football scholarship or anything like that.
Not that they mentioned.
No, they were all uber geeks. But I'm glad.
It was kind of fun.
When we were kids, geeks got their asses kicked, and now we're the kings of the hill.
Yeah, well, we're kicking ass virtually, which, no.
Hey, what do you call somebody that that you called a geek when you were a kid?
A nerd.
What do you call them now?
Amazing.
Boss.
Oh, boss. Anyway, I also had a play of the week. And I'll stop talking eventually, I promise, so that you can get a word in edgewise. My play of the week was against a shaman, and it had me giggling for 5 minutes because the poor guy, I think he committed suicide before he realized what he was doing. I had in my shaman deck an unbound elemental, and I had gotten him up to 7/5. And then I put a Defender of Argus out, which is a +1/+1 taunt, which basically made him an 8/6. Well, okay, he's got this 8/6 creature staring him in the face, so he pulled out his Crazed Alchemist. And what the Crazed Alchemist does...
That sounds so wrong. Pardon me while I pull out my Crazed
Alchemist. It's a 2/2 creature, which reverses the health and armor of your creature. So I went from an 8/6 taunt to a 6/8 taunt. Then, okay, did I say it was a priest?
No.
It was a priest. That, I think, is why I giggled even longer.
Okay.
Priests are well known for stealing your cards or stealing copies of your cards.
So Blacklace, people are going to get the impression that you don't like priests if you keep talking this way.
I have no idea why they would ever get that impression. That I hate priests beyond any other card, beyond any other deck, beyond even
Why don't
Murlocs.
You continue with your story?
So yeah, so anyway, the Crazed Alchemist comes out, changing my little guy from an 8/6 to a 6/8. Figured maybe he'd take less damage that way. And then he stole a card. Well, what he stole, I didn't know, was my Doomhammer. Doomhammer basically allows you to strike a target twice. It's got Wind Fury on it.
Yep.
So he went ahead, being this little priest who doesn't know how to use a weapon, silly creature, he equipped my Doomhammer. And then he's trying to figure out what to do. Well, he can't hit me because I've got out my 6/8 Unbound Elemental that now has Haunt with a nice little shield. So he has to strike that with my equipped Doomhammer, or the one he stole from me. Okay, you see where this is going? He has 12 points left. He doesn't think about, okay, he's going to go over my head, he's going to cast a spell or anything, because he had a handful of spells and stuff, and he had creatures out. He went, he used my little Doomhammer to kill that poor little elemental, and he hit it twice and blew up. Totally just exploded and died because
being a priest, he's not used to using weapons and doesn't realize
that
the minion hits you back.
Damage. Yes, so every time he hit for 6 points, he hit it twice in a row, boom, 12 points. That's all he had left. He was toast. I laughed. Yay, yes, steal that card.
Blew himself up.
He did. That was my happy moment.
Yes.
So did you have a play of the week?
You know what? You were talking about how difficult it was to play since the reset. And you've been doing so much better than me the past 3 seasons. I haven't gotten to play much because I was getting over being sick. But I was playing the mage, as we had agreed that we would do. And I'm just, with the exception of the priests that I concede to, I've just been winning and winning and winning. So pretty much every game I've played with my mage has been a play of the week. I mean, I took my mage with very limited time playing all the way from, well, it's not from 25 because I got a boost, so I think I started at like 22 or whatever from the stars I got. So from like 22 to the precipice of 18, I think I'm at like 3-star 19, using nothing but the mage, with several games advanced through win streaks, but I keep breaking the win streak every time I concede to a priest.
Did you say you keep breaking win streaks.
Right. Well, sometimes I break win streaks by breaking wind, but that's another matter. So I've just been having fun playing the mage. I forgot how much I enjoyed playing the mage because I've been playing so many other things. So it's just been fun to sit there and protect yourself and put up the taunt creatures and, you know, mirror images and everything, and bide your time until, you know, you get Malagos out and then do a 12-point fireball to the face. I mean, that's pretty fun stuff.
It is. It is. I had a lot of fun with it. I actually had downloaded somebody else's deck, and it was supposedly a very quick winning deck and had won a lot of games, and I was not doing well with it at all. And I looked, and I have this deck called Hot Stuff. That's my mage deck. And I was like, well, I wasn't too good with it, but let me try it. So I dumped the one that I had downloaded, and I started using my old deck, and I kept winning. I brought myself, I think, to 17, and then I got bashed down to like 19 again, and then back up to 17 or 16. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. I absolutely am.
There's been a change in the meta, because remember when the mage took me all the way to rank 12, and then like the next season hit, and I couldn't win to save my life? I mean, it was after all of those nerfs and everything, but it's like I was just getting beat down all the time on my mage. I couldn't win, so I really hadn't played in like 3 seasons, and now I'm doing great. And, you know, sometimes luck is with you, and clearing every minion off the table with a 1 casting cost 9-point arcane missile is just a wicked fun way to win.
Well, I like when
Flame Ragnaros and the like.
Ragnaros isn't a mage card, but I have it in my mage deck, and just the luck, my luck this week was good, because like they'd have 3 or 4 minions out and I'd have nothing and I'd be just about dead, and they'd have 8 points and I'd pull out Ragnaros, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I have a 1 in 4 chance of them getting hit directly, and that's what I need, or this game's over. And then to see that fireball just go right in their faces.
I have to get me a Ragnaros. Just have to. So, when we first started podcasting, remember we had these dreams of what our podcast might be like? And we were just like, oh, wouldn't it be great if somebody actually wrote us and we'd get an email? And that was like this big dream of ours to get one. And this week was like the creme de la creme of community.
Yes, it was a media explosion.
We got emails, we got tweets, we got a Facebook post, and we got
another iTunes shout-out.
Another iTunes review.
And that shout-out review. Sorry, so, I do the shout-out, they do the review.
Thanks, guys, for keeping in touch with us. We love it. A lot of you are sending us decks. We haven't been able to try out every deck that we get, but we want to, and we'll try to. We really appreciate the community interacting with us. It's part of what makes this exciting for us and fun. And so, do you think we should read an email?
I do. And then after that, we will go. Well, I was thinking shout outs at the end of the show, but if you want to break sequence, we can. No,
yeah, we can do them at the end of the show. But before I read the email that I was going to read, Dustin had written to us, and we gave him advice on the last episode. And he wrote back to say, thanks for reading my question on your podcast. That was real fun to hear. And he goes on to talk about, you know, what good he did by taking our advice. And that feels good to know.
Cool.
We gave advice that someone actually took.
Yay. So, while we're here, we might as well. I'm going to give a quick shout out to an iTunes Mike Crosley for leaving us a really nice review. To Cody Nelson in Facebook for dropping us some information there, too. For Mike Thurman and Rob Brown for some tweets. Thurston, never mind. Mike Thrum and Rob Brown.
Thumb. THUMM.
Not what I wrote down. Not what it says here.
It's thumb. It's actually okay. gnome for the win, but anyway.
Thanks, Mike and Rob, for sending us some tweets and the emails. Dustin White, Kevin, say it, Leger,
mm-hmm.
and Adam Wolf. Thank you for your emails. And yeah, Alden's Bain, you wanted to read
And Rob Brown
Adam's.
From Twitter. Did you
I
mention Rob Brown?
I
yes,
did.
You did. You
when
did.
You were saying, when you were Mike Thumb.
When I was correcting you.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to read one. Email
from Adam.
From Adam Wolf, and Adam writes, "I'm pretty new to Hearthstone, and had a pretty interesting game. It was a priest versus priest game, and the other person was very friendly with his emotes, and we were basically playing the same cards toward the start of the game. Now, keep in mind, this is a priest playing another priest, and we're reading his email. See, we don't hate priests." Well, maybe Black Lace does, but anyway, I'll continue. I had a mind blast and healing well since the start of the game, but I had no need for them yet. Eventually, I had a nice set of minions out and had him down to around 9 hit points, and I was at 25 still. He mind controlled my main minion toward the end, the 6/6 with the +1 attack to minions. He then proceeded to get a big army, and I was struggling. During that time, and for most of the game, he had two of the 1/3 minions that draws a card when a minion gets healed. I hate that card. So somehow I picked away at him and got him to six health points while he was destroying me, and he ran out of cards to draw. I kept hoping to draw my second Mind Blast, but it never came. I was down to around 3 hit points, and he still had 6. I just said, forget it. I'm done, and just played all my cards. I played Mind Blast and got him down to 1 health point. Then I used Healing Well for the heck of it. Well, it just so happened that each heal to minions made him draw a card because of those two priests. But he was out
of they're cards. Actually, I'm sorry. I call her priestess because she just looks like a priestess, but it's the Northshire cleric. Go on.
So, but he was out of cards, so he got damaged each time he couldn't draw. And I won the game. After that, we chatted, and he said
he was surprised,
and that his own minions killed him. So
yeah,
Flipper Dolphin. But it's always fun when you win in a very unorthodox way. And we were just talking last turn how it doesn't happen too often, and then this person writes us and tells us how it happened to him. And it's nice that they struck up a friendship over it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we get really interesting or funny stories like that, we're happy to read them and share them.
And thank you for sharing them with us.
We both got chuckles out of that.
And they were priests. They still laughed.
Yeah. Well, I hear you cackle like a mad crone whenever you beat a priest.
Well, yeah. See, I actually try to play them when they come out instead of conceding like you do.
I'm too busy to waste 40 minutes to lose to a priest.
All right. So now it's time for us to discuss the mage class in depth. We're going to go over the cards, talk about which ones we like, which ones we use and don't use and all that sort of stuff before we wrap the show. And when I say that, I'm talking about a half hour from now. The very first card...
Wait. Before we do that, are you missing any mage cards?
Of course I am.
I'm missing the legendary.
I'm missing Spellbender. I'm missing, One Secret. Kirin Tor Mage. I actually got lucky and got the legendary Archmage
Antonidas. You have him?
I have him in gold. So it makes it look like I'm missing him, but I'm really not because I have him in gold.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And he's a neat card. We will go into depth about him.
Okay, when we get to him.
Mage cards. Yep.
So we should start, as we always do, with the lower casting cost cards. And the first one is Arcane Missiles. Deal 3 damage randomly, split among enemy characters. Now, this is an awesome card. And not just because it could do 3 damage, but if you hold it, you can use it to just hit your opponent if you want to. Now, I've seen a lot of mages use it first turn before I have a chance to put any minions down, so they could just do 3 directly to my face. Others will hold it to make sure, you know, if there's a bunch of weenies out there, perhaps against a Murloc deck, you can hit them. But if you have type of cards that boost the spell power, that's when it's great. Today, I did 9 points of damage on Arcane Missiles. So it was deal 9 damage randomly split amongst enemy characters, and I cleared the board of all minions on my opponent's side. Awesome spell.
Hmm.
Why do you go, hmm?
I have it. I use it a lot. No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, hmm, yes. I'm actually just kind of losing it because I'm looking at the picture of a gold one and it's all flashy, sparkly, and pretty, and I get kind of sidetracked by flashy, sparkly, pretty things. So, the next card, however, is not flashy and sparkly on my screen. It's Ice Lance. It's a 1 casting cost. Basically, you freeze a character. If it's already frozen, you deal 4 damage instead. And that could be an ouch. That's one. I actually don't have this in my deck. 1 casting cost for a potential 4 points of damage.
But they have to be frozen. So people will make freeze decks, and I haven't had any luck making freeze decks.
No,
and
I have some.
I don't particularly care for the mechanics involved in trying to set that up.
Yep.
But I've seen mages use it to good end against me.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. I don't use it because I don't have a freeze deck either. But it's not a bad card. The next card is Mirror Image. And that is a summon a 0/2 minion with taunt.
No, 2 of them.
Yes.
Two 0/2
minions of taunt. And yes, 2 of them in my deck.
Yes. I don't think I've made any mage decks without having 2 of those in there. Because part of this, the strategy of the mage, unless there are rush mage decks out there, I haven't encountered one. It's bide your time, build your mana, and then hit hard. So putting 2 taunt creatures out there, even though they're just 0/2, really buys you some time.
Yep.
It also synergizes well with the next card.
And you know what? There's another thing that synergizes now with the next card and the mirror image, and I'll tell you my favorite beginning play in a moment. Why don't you go ahead and read the next card?
So, Black Lace raved about this card several turns ago. It's called the Mana Worm. It's a 1 casting cost, 1 attack, 3 health creature. Whenever you cast a spell, gain +1 attack. So that's pretty useful. But I learned to get it out and not cast a bunch of spells until the following turn. Because if you boost it up with a bunch of spells, chances are it'll be dead before you get to attack with it. That's my experience.
They're going to try to kill it anyway. Anybody who really knows a mage deck, they see that card coming out, it's kind of like the Northshire Cleric for the priest. They're going to try to kill that fast, because my favorite play is to have that mirror image and be my the turn 2 person, because I'll cast for 1 mana my mana worm, which gives me an immediate 1/3 creature. I will then use my coin to give me a second mana, and that actually counts as casting a spell. So mm-hmm. my mana worm becomes a 2/2 creature.
2/3.
And then 2/3 creature, I'm sorry. Then I cast my mirror image and 2 more minions with taunt appear. So now in the first turn, I have a 3/3 creature and 2 0/2 with taunts out. Very, very sweet.
Yes.
And it probably happens more than you'd realize. Next card is Arcane Explosion. And that is, yeah, it's quite kind of like a not a
yep, but deal it one is to all enemy minions. That's the key.
Yes. Yeah, so it's helpful if somebody does like calls the hounds out and then pumps them with a 1/1 wolf. You can quickly get rid of them. Deal 1 damage to all enemy minions.
And remember, in a mage deck, very often you're boosting that, so
mm-hmm.
might not just be 1 damage to all.
Correct.
You have Malagos out there at 6 damage to all.
Yeah, it could very quickly be very ouchy.
Yep. So, next card, Frostbolt. Heal 3 damage to a character and freeze it for 2 mana. I think that's a worthwhile card. That's a decent casting cost for what you get out of it. I think most people use it just for the 3 damage effect. Sometimes they freeze the bigger creatures, but I usually see it wipe someone out, whether I'm doing it or somebody's doing it to me.
I kind of hold it in my hand till some turns go by and I can annihilate the 3/3 grizzly bear.
Now, remember, if you're facing mage against mage, that Frostbolt is the perfect thing to kill that mana worm with.
Mm-hmm, true enough. Sorcerer's Apprentice is 2 cast and cost 3/2 creature. All your spells cost 1 less.
Yeah, I've had 0 casting cost spells because of that Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah.
And she's a cute gnome.
She is a cute gnome. This one, I think we both agree that we've pulled these from our decks. Some people still use it, but they're 3 mana cost. Arcane Intellect allows you to draw 2 cards. Again, I would rather have use of cards that come into my hand than just get 1 free card for a draw.
Yeah, for 3 casting costs.
Yeah.
I still see it used a lot. A lot of people use it. And I don't know if I've never played high enough up the ladder to know if the high ranking players use it, but it's usually the lower ranking people I see using it. But I don't use it. I have a gold one. It's pretty, but I'm not going to use it.
Yep.
So next is Go ahead.
Secret. Counterspell. When your opponent casts a spell, counter it. I don't use this card. It's a good card. I don't use it.
It is. It is a good card. And, it's the closest thing this game has to an interrupt. We've discussed that in advance. Before that, other card games like Magic the Gathering have ways to interrupt your plays. Like, I cast a spell. No, you don't. Counterspell.
But it's risky in that it's a secret, and it doesn't give you the ability to choose which spell you're countering. So if he's putting out a simple 1/1 creature, and you counterspell it, you're sitting there kicking yourself that it didn't go off on something a lot more powerful like Alexstrasza.
That's why you save it to later in the game.
Yeah.
But currently, I'm not using it either.
I'm not either. Next one is Frostmova or Freeze All.
We were talking about freeze decks. This is probably a staple of freeze decks. Freeze all minions.
Which
all
I do not use.
For 3. And again, I don't use it either.
Nope,
but,
me neither.
I've seen people use it.
I haven't seen it used. I haven't.
I have seen it. Not often, but I do see it. The gold version is phenomenal. It's flashing pretty. Ice.
As I said, I'm not going to look at it because it's sparkly and I'll get all distracted. So you go ahead and do the next one.
Yeah, so it looks like we've got a bunch of secrets. We're just going to breeze through these because we talked about all the secrets in a previous turn. There's Ice Barrier. As soon as your hero is attacked, gain 8 armor. I see this a lot.
I have 2 of them.
I'm not actually using that one, but I am using the Ice Block. In fact, I use 2 Ice Blocks. And most of my games, I get my butt saved by using 2 ice blocks on consecutive turns back to back. And the cool thing is, unless you're playing against a hunter, you can just cast them at any point during the game. You know, like when you have spare mana, because the hunter is the only one that could get rid of a secret. But the ice block is when your hero takes fatal damage, prevent it and become immune this turn. So twice in the past week, Ice Blocks has saved me from being killed and managed to buy me enough time to pyroblast my opponent to the face.
Huh. See, now, I had that in the deck that I downloaded. I didn't download, but I looked it up on the internet. Someone else suggested using it, and I used it with that deck. The deck didn't do very well. I had the card in there, so I got to experiment with it a little bit, but I didn't put it in my normal deck. I'm not using it.
It is epic for a reason.
It is a good card.
And I vastly prefer it to Ice Barrier, because somebody could run over you for 8. You know, you get that 8 armor, somebody could easily beat that 8 armor down. But no, to totally make you immune for an entire turn or two turns back to back, that's what Ice Block's real value is in, and I won't play a mage deck without two of them anymore.
Now you made me rethink my Ice Barrier. To be continued.
Ice Barrier is good, but not as good as Ice Block.
And next card. Yeah, oh, sorry.
Mirror Entity.
I get Secret. Excited about that. I like that card.
Yep, when your opponent plays a minion, summon a copy of it. Somebody used that against me today, and they managed to get a loot order out of it.
I find the thing that bothers... You don't get the special effects. Let me let everybody know. When you play Mirror Entity, if they play something that does something special, you don't get that special effect. So if you've got the little girl who brings out, draw a card, 2 mana, casting cost, 1/1 creature, draw a card, you get a 1/1 creature, you don't get a card. So the effects don't go through. Just what the card is, basic, down, and dirty.
I don't understand what you mean. You mean the battle cry, are you saying?
Right, right. The battle cry of the cards do not come through. So it's just the down and dirty basic card that you're getting copied. So you're not going to have your creatures to the left get +1 and +1 and taunt. You're just going to get your 4/4 creature, that kind of thing. But I do keep it in my deck. I do save it towards the later part of the game. I want to wait until that other player has at least 5 mana before I throw this out, because I want a bigger creature to copy.
Yes, and as somebody said in the chat room, you do get death rattles. You just don't get battle cries.
Right, right. And I think also the special effect like Ragnaros, I think you get their fireballs. That happens as well.
Yeah.
It's just the battle cry. So it's kind of selective.
Because No. It's just the battle cries, because the battle cry comes out when you summon the minion. You're not summoning a minion. You're copying the minion.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the other abilities, Wind Fury and all of that, you get all of those.
Right.
You just don't get the battle cry.
Correct.
So
Spellbender,
card,
I don't have.
I have one. It's epic. I only have one. And I don't use it. When an enemy casts a spell on a minion, summon a 1/3 as the new target. So, and when we went over secrets, we mentioned that that works on beneficial spells as well. So, it's probably useful to some people, but I wouldn't know because I don't use it. The next one, though, I have used. Vaporize. I don't know why I removed it from my deck. Probably because there's so damn many great mage cards in this game that you just have to remove some of them. Vaporize. When a minion attacks your hero, destroy it. And I've seen some big creatures go kaboom because of that spell. But most people, they test the waters. They don't attack with their big guns first, because that might be out there.
Now, with Vaporize, does your damage go through?
Mm-mm.
All right, so it happens before. Vaporizes it before the attack.
Right, because when he attacks, not when he damages you. So,
good to know.
So, the good thing is, it wouldn't work on Ragnaros, because Ragnaros doesn't attack. But, you get King Crush coming across at you. Boom.
Nice. Moving on to 4 mana cost, we have...
Nope, there's
away
another
from
three.
Secrets.
There's
is
another
there?
Three. Yep, because you don't have him. The Chiron Tor Mage. It's a rare.
Aha.
3 casting cost, 4/3 creature. The next secret you play this turn... costs 0. So,
not bad for a 4/3 creature.
So if you have 3 mana that you were going to use on a secret, just play the mage and you get the secret for free. I think it's a little too specialized.
I don't know.
Use.
Not really. I use a lot of secrets. So I would say if I had that card, I might just try it in my deck. Because again, it's still a 4/3 creature. For a 3 mana casting cost, it's not bad. So, next turn you're still going to pop somebody for 4 points of damage if it lives. And if it doesn't live, you've got your secret out.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a kind of nice card. All right, so, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have that because I wasn't able to see it. I had to go back into crafting mode because I don't have it.
Kona Cold. 4 casting cost. Freeze a minion and the minions next to it. And deal 1 damage to them. I don't use it.
I don't either. I have two of them.
Again, I guess if you're running a freeze deck, then that's a pretty good card, but I don't use that. I do, however, use two of the next card.
But before we move to the next card, I'm kind of cold. If I had that in my deck with something that boosted damage, then I could see that being really nice, because instead of dealing one damage to the cards, you'd be dealing 5, 6, 7. That would work with, like, Malgoth coming out.
Right.
Yep, the next card, as you said, definitely, this is all decks should have. Actually, the next two cards, all decks should have two of each. So go ahead.
Well, I disagree with you on that comment, and you'll see why in a moment.
How dare you?
But I do have two fireballs in my mage deck and deal 6 damage. Today I did 12 with a fireball because of the boosted damage. I had a Malagos and an Azure Drake out, so that was plus 6. So, and this was a player who was actually beating me down hard and pretty much like getting ready to, you know, good game type of response to me, and then in comes to my hand a fireball and poof, 12 damage.
Yeah. Those are the good moments when you pull that card that you absolutely need.
Yeah,
when
it is
sitting there for waiting for a hex in a shaman deck. Please let it be a hex, and it doesn't come.
It is the type of move that used to make mages so over the top, overpowered, because you can't really do anything to protect from this.
No, it goes right over the everything's heads.
And it still brings up that question that we've had before. Why do taunt creatures not also work for spells?
Don't know.
So, you think that the polymorph should be in every deck.
Hell yeah.
Forecasting cost, transform a minion into a 1/1 sheep.
Get so, badass.
Here's the classic move. You have a pretty decent card out there.
Come on, that was funny.
And then somebody polymorphs it. Nah, it wasn't. So you turn him into a 1/1 sheep, and then you use your hero power to destroy it. So it's an awful lot of mana to go around and destroying something. I would rather just have spells that blow shit up than to turn people into sheep first.
Okay, so when the Archmage and Tinnitus comes out, you don't want to have a little sheep maker in your hand?
Well, don't get me wrong. It is a good card, and I used to have it in my mage deck, but there are just so many good cards to choose from, and when it came down to it, I just said, I would rather do damage than just turn you into a 1/1 sheep.
No, I don't know. I just,
if these
you
decks
need
were bigger,
one oh crap button.
Yeah.
And that card is, I don't know if that word can be said, or if it's one of those 7 words we're not allowed to say on. I think it's one of the 7 words. So it's an oh crap button.
Well, first of all, you can say that word, and we have an explicit tag, which by the way, we don't really speak like most explicitly tagged podcasts, but our producer likes to cover his bases in case somebody makes
and
a
cover
boo-boo.
Our bases.
So I had somebody cast 2 polymorphs on me today, and that's when I threw out my Malagos, like, okay, you can't polymorph me anymore, here's my Malagos. It's a good card. I'm not saying it's a bad card. I just, in the decision of what to take out of my deck, it just had to come out to make room for all those other things.
There are a lot of good cards.
Because there's so many good spells, but you have to have minions. That's the problem. I was running out of space to put minions because there were so many good spells.
Yeah, I think the chat room is disagreeing with you, too. So, I mean, that's against you, hon, but...
Yeah, I know the majority disagrees with me, and that's fine.
It's always good to see people kicking sheep.
But who's the one that's been winning with the mage deck all week?
Oh, don't go there, because who is ahead of you in rank, I ask?
Okay. Well, you've played a lot more than me.
And the next card is the Ethereal Arcanist. If you control a secret at the end of your turn, he gains +2/+2. Comes out as a 3/3 creature to begin with.
Now, you said you play a lot of secrets. Do you play with him?
Nope, because I have other cards that are more important to me.
Yeah. What, like polymorph?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Water elemental. 4 casting costs. 3 attack, 6 health. Freeze any character damaged by this minion.
Good card. It's a good card. Well, see, I've come across a lot of mages who do. I do not have this in my deck. I see that card come out, and I do everything to kill it or disable it before it can do anything. I'm usually putting some sort of a silence on it or getting rid of its special effect, or I'm outright. My fireball will go right to that creature. As soon as I see it, it's hands down annihilate it right now.
Yeah, I don't. I try to save my fireballs for my opponent.
We've got a vote in the chat room also that we should be going head-to-head, wife against husband. So my mage deck against your mage deck after the show. What do you say?
Okay, it's
all
a
right,
deal.
We're on. We'll let you guys know what happens next week.
Only if you promise not to cry when I annihilate you.
Oh, yeah. If you guys do not hear Autumn's Bane on the air next week, and it's just me doing the show solo, do not call the local hospitals. Don't call the local police department. Nothing strange happened. It would just be me deciding to do the show myself.
No, it'll be that I died laughing when I beat him.
Yeah, it's on, baby. It's on.
Okay, it's on. So the next card
Blizzard.
I used to use it, but I don't anymore.
No?
And I don't know why.
It's a good card. And the gold card is beautiful. Now, living where we do and seeing snow all the time, finally going away now, actually it's still covering our lawn, but it's still a beautiful card. There's snow just falling all over her. It's really, but as a card for how good is it? It's a good card. It freezes everything, does 2 damage to all enemy minions. So if it doesn't take them out, right, you know, if it doesn't take them outright out, it at least freezes them and gives you one more turn to do more damage to them and get rid of them.
Yeah, I'm noticing that, you know, there's this theme of freeze cards, but most of my damaging spells are fire cards, not cold cards. I think that's why I took it out. I figured I'm not going to make use of the freeze mechanic very much, so I'd rather use something else. Like, for example, for 1 more mana, I can cast a Flame Strike and deal 4 damage to all enemy minions.
Yeah, that's a nice card. It's another card that I have in my deck that I say, please, please, please let it come into my hand.
Yeah, it saved me today. I had an opponent that had 9 minions out. Is that the max? No, 7 is the max, right? So he had 7 minions out. And he was a shaman, so he also had some totems, and he was running a Murloc deck on top of that, and he had minions that increased the power of the other minions, so most of them had 4 or less health, one of them had 5, but they all had like 8 or 9 power, so, you know, after getting through 2 ice blocks, I was sure he was going to get me, until the Flame Strike came into my hand, and I just blew them all away, and then used my hero power to pop off the last one, and I ended up winning the game, and this card pretty much won the game for me. I love Flame Strike. It's very expensive, but if you've got, especially if you've got a damage boosting card in play, you know, one of your minions or whatever, it could be very devastating.
Yeah, it is one of the best cards in the game, I think.
And then finally, did you get one yet?
I did, but you missed somebody, because you don't have him.
Oh, I thought we always saved the legendaries for last.
No, we go in order of mana cost, and he's a 7 mana cost.
So, Archmage Antonidas.
Awesome card.
Whenever you cast a spell, put a fireball spell into your hand. And one day I was playing against a mage who had that, but he also had the gnome that made this spells cost less. And I think he may have even had 2 of her out. So he just started chucking fireballs at me like crazy. And it's a nice card. If I had him, I'd probably have him in my deck.
I do have him in my deck. My only problem with him is it does take a long time to get him out. And sometimes I'm like fighting frantically to annihilate other creatures coming at me, and I just don't have the seven to spare to pull him into my hand or to put him out on the deck. Yeah, well, one more time, onto the table.
Yeah, that is a disadvantage. In fact, when we were discussing Legendary several turns ago, we were talking about how, you know, a lot of people are on the fence about this particular card. But, I guess I won't know if I would play him unless I had him.
Beautiful artwork. He's standing there, his beard in the gold. The beard is blowing around in the wind. He has these ribbons coming off of his staff and off of his belt. Just different areas, and the ribbons are blowing in the wind, and he's got this swirling mass of fire in his left hand. It's just absolutely gorgeous artwork. So
but
kudos
now,
again to Blizzard for the work they put into these cards.
But all that's left of him is a monument in Dalaran, because he's dead.
Not when he's in my hand.
Okay. Pyroblast. Definitely one of the best endgame cards.
I'm sorry. I love the mage. That is a freaking overpowered card. Come on. 10 damage?
But for 10 mana.
Well, I don't care. You can't block it. I mean, you have your taunt creatures across the board. That's still coming over their heads and hitting the opponent. That's a cheap shot.
Yeah, but didn't this card used to be like 8 mana?
I think it did, and that was one of the ones that they upped.
This was one of the big nerfs. They made it 10. It used to be less.
It's still an like, ouch.
They're like, no, we don't want people to just in two turns and, you know, do 2/3 of the opponent's health. You could still do it. You just have to live long enough to do it. And, you know, put one of those out when you've got Malagos or, you know, your Azure Drakes or something out, and it's even more. The trick is by that time in the game, you know, there's a good chance you're going to have to use it on some massively giant creature minion instead. But if you could hold it off to use against your opponent, that's just a beautiful card.
It is. That wraps up the mage cards. It's a lot of fun. You won't hear me saying that when we talk about another class.
You always go back to that.
I know, my hatred runs deep. Okay. We have spoken about the shaman, we have spoken about the hunter, we have done the paladin and the warlock and the mage. We are down to the warrior. We are down to the druid, and we are down to that other class.
We didn't do the rogue yet.
We didn't do the rogue. Okay, so we still have 4 more to do.
Did we do the shaman?
Yes, that's how I fell in love with my shaman.
Oh, right. That's right.
We did the shaman on turn 17.
All right, let's ask the chat room what they think.
God, I know what they're going to say.
Warrior, rogue, druid. That's it. Warrior, rogue, or druid, right?
We did warrior, all the others. Rogue, druid. We'll have to say it. Or priest. What would the chat room like
no,
to see
us? No,
we're
not doing the priest. We're not doing the priest. We saved that for last. Warrior, rogue, or druid, guys. Okay.
Face
is druid.
You know, we're going to do the priest last.
And I like the druid. We'll do the druid. Next time, all druid. Right.
That's going to be interesting. I've never played a druid deck.
If you have druid comments.
I mean, except for the silly, you know, when you're first starting, and you've got to get through your first 10 just to get your achievement. That's the only time I've played the druid. So this is going to be interesting. Will I like it as much as my shaman or my mage or my pally? Good question.
I love my druid. I actually have more wins with my druid than with any other class currently.
I might need to
in ranked.
Well, yeah, it seems like our chat room likes the druid a lot, so I might hit them up for some strategy here.
So, if you have comments or questions about the druid or want to send some decks, I'm probably going to regret saying that. Any comments about the druid, send them in, and maybe we'll talk about them next week when we talk about the druid.
And where can you send them, you might ask?
Where can you send them? Well, I am asking.
You can send them to us at our Gmail account, which is awohearthstone@gmail.com. As usual, you can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can download us on iTunes or leave us an iTunes review. You can find us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. And you can, of course, find us on the live stream here. And Autumn's Bane, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to thank all the people who contacted us through Facebook, through Twitter, through email, through iTunes, who joined us in the chat room. Thanks, guys, for supporting us. It really means a lot to us.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And as always, happy hearthing.
Bye-bye, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye, everybody.
Broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our Inn.